The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Grow Your Garden Radio, where it's easy to be green. Today, we'll be talking about essential end-of-season gardening tasks, focusing on home gardeners in the Northeast. It's important to remember that in Western Massachusetts, where this broadcast originates, elevations can change tremendously from town to town, which can have an impact on how early you get your first frost, and how severe the effects can be. For example, being located on top of a hill, in a valley, or even on a specific side of a hill can determine whether your garden is affected by frost, while your neighbor just down the road might remain untouched. If you know when you could be getting a frost, you can schedule backwards from that date for various gardening tasks. The most important, of course, would be to harvest any tender crops, such as tomatoes, peppers, and beans, that could be badly affected, or maybe protecting them so you can get a little bit more growing time out of the season. For this year, the University of Massachusetts Agricultural Extension Office sets the frost date for Stockbridge, Massachusetts, as an example, at about September 26th for a 36-degree temperature, and October 22nd for a 28-degree frost that could possibly happen. Often this is called a hard frost or a killing frost. These dates and temperatures are not hard dates that you can make an appointment for because it's based on probability from data obtained in the past and predictions of what the weather is going to be like at the time when the charts are created, sometimes months in advance. So they're more of a guideline than an actual rule. It's important to keep a close eye on the weather forecast at this time of year so that way you can adapt as necessary. Additionally, the Old Farmer's Almanac has their own frost prediction algorithm that allows you to input your zip code for potential freeze dates. A link to these resources are in the show notes, or do a search for frost dates in your area. I think the frost is going to be early this year, because I'm already getting nighttime temperatures in the upper 40s, and we're at about 1,900 feet elevation up here in the Hilltowns where I am. Even at this late date, many of my tomatoes are still green. And that's a stark contrast to some plants that I gifted to a friend down in Lee, who's having a fairly substantial harvest. They've got some really nice ripened tomatoes now. And for reference, Lee is about 1,000 feet elevation. So this illustrates the difference between 1,900 where I am and 1,000 foot elevation. That 900 feet can make a big difference to a growing season. Also, these plants were from the same exact seed lot that I grew from seedlings. Okay, so what are some specific tasks that should be completed? Clearing out spent plants and weeds is crucial. Pull up any diseased or pest-infected plants and dispose of them properly to prevent future issues. Healthy plant debris can be added to your compost pile. Never compost plants that you think could be diseased. Most of the time, the temperatures attained in a properly maintained compost pile can kill most pathogens. However, some viruses which can affect tomato plants, for example, can survive the compost process. One of the most important end-of-season tasks is soil preparation. Add compost, leaf mold, or well-rotted manure to your garden beds. Now, this is going to boost soil fertility and structure, ensuring that your garden is ready for planting in the spring. Consider planting cover crops such as clover or rye. These green manures, as they're called, help prevent soil erosion, suppress weeds, and improve soil structure. Come spring, these crops can be turned into the soil to boost its organic content. And it's also time to start planning for next year. Reflect on this year's garden season and start planning for next year. Take notes on what worked well and what didn't. I have decades of gardening journals that I found invaluable, especially if I had some type of a problem to solve. Problems such as pest control or nutrient issues can often be discovered if you look back in your notes. I'll have a much larger segment on gardening journals and collecting data and ideas on how to use it soon. In general, I find the process of keeping records to be fun and fairly useful. Being able to measure outcomes against metrics such as seed strains, irrigation levels, weather, and organic soil amendments give me a better understanding of how my actions can affect the crop harvest. One of the more useful items in my journal is a map of where I've planted various crops over the years. Many experts agreed that it's important to rotate your crops, even if you're in a garden, so that way you don't have the same species in the same location more than once every, say, 3 or 4 years. Rotating even a home vegetable garden can help increase the health and production of various plants, notably tomatoes, which are susceptible to alternaria and verticillium wilt. Alternaria is a fungal spore whose germination can be reduced tremendously by not having one of its favorite plants available year after year in the same infected soil. Same thing with verticillium wilt. By not letting them get a foothold in a specific area, it reduces the viability of the spores and reduces the probability that you're going to have an issue. I have a link to a great article by the Iowa State University Extension and Outreach Program. It's called Crop Rotation and the Vegetable Garden. Go to the provided link or do a search for Iowa State University Extension and look for the outreach program Yard and Garden. The next thing is to take care of your gardening tools. Clean and store gardening tools to extend their lifespan. Now, remove any soil, sharpen the blades and oil metal parts, and put them in an area where they're not going to be as susceptible to rusting. If you've had an outbreak of any diseases in your garden, I take extra care to wash those tools with soap and water and wash them in an area that's away from your garden, because sometimes the pathogen could be resistant to the climate that you're going to be storing your tools in, and that could potentially allow you to reinfect some areas that you thought were already clean. For beginners, this is an invaluable lesson in tool maintenance. It's an overlooked aspect of gardening. So, wrapping up the gardening season is a combination of hard work and celebration. By completing these tasks, you're going to be setting yourself up for a successful and productive garden next year. Each step you take in your garden not only increases food security and personal empowerment, but also instills the love of nature, especially if you have any children. As always, thank you so much for your time and your interest in this show. Go to growyourgardenradio.com to listen to past episodes, leave comments, or access free show notes and other resources for further exploration. Thank you for listening to Grow Your Garden Radio, where it's easy to be green. Because I'm still in love with you, I want to see you.